You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much, and it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible, but I mean that is part of the story.
That is part of the story. That's Jeffrey Toobin, CNN legal analyst. After 7 months, he's back on air. This is June 11, 2021. I'm going to spend a lot of time in the second hour today dealing with the leftist hypocrisy, because they fired Toobin. Well, let me correct that. They didn't fire him. They just took him off the air. I don't know if he's getting paid during that time because of what he did on that Zoom call. And I just wonder how difficult it was for Allison Camerota, the CNN anchor, to sit there right beside him and question him about what he had done. And that was pleasure himself while I was on a Zoom call. And he says, well, yeah, there's no excuse. It's moronic. But he said, there's nothing really in my defense, but I didn't think I was on the call. Well, of course he didn't think he was on the call. We're going to get into that in more detail because there's a correlating story. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, Republican, had been a CNN analyst for some time because they said, well, see, we're inviting conservatives on and Rick Santorum can come on and voice his opinion. But I will tell you, every time they had him on, they usually had him in a panel of four or five. And every one of the others was a CNN paid employee, or either as an analyst or direct. So it was always four against one or five against one in some cases. But they're saying, see, we're being fair. We're going to spend a lot of time on the next hour dealing with the hypocrisy that exists in the left. And within that also, I've got former U.S. Congressman John LaBoutier, Republican, a never Trumper. A Reagan Republican, he says. And he says he has his views of what's going on right now. We haven't talked to John for some time, so he's always very candid. If you've ever heard his interview, you know that he's going to say what he thinks. The hell with me being his his host of the program and what I'm saying. He does not mince his words. So that'll be coming up also later before we wrap up. Obviously, we today do not want to pass the day without paying attention to some of the other issues, one of them being COVID, obviously. The vaccines continue to be used by some, ignored by others, feared by many. Now they're talking about pushing it onto kids, and yet the latest figures show that less than 300 kids under the age of 16, less than 300 out of 330 million in this nation, not kids, but total population, have died of COVID or with COVID and with complications. Now, if you lose your child, the numbers mean nothing to you. It's your child. I certainly understand that. But giving children this experimental vaccine at this point when we don't know long-term effects, it was rushed out, warp speed, and we needed it. The world needed it. It seems to be doing help. And yet you get mixed messages from the administration. You know, Biden is saying, go out, get your shot. Did a YouTube video for kids, get your shot. Anheuser-Busch offering a free beer if you prove you had a shot. I mean, there's all kinds of offers out there. If you hadn't gotten a shot, you might still get it and get some incentives. And then we see Biden not only vaccinated, but also wearing a mask as he addressed our U.S. troops in England. You think there's not a conflicting message there? And yes, many of our U.S. troops had said they don't want it. They don't want it. Congressman Crenshaw is calling out a congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, for her remarks and says, here's somebody who should be fired. And at the same time, many are calling for the head of Dr. Fake, understandably, and everyone at the CDC. And Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, said the scientists had put out a letter in early 2020 basically saying that anything Trump and his supporters said about COVID was a lie. He said we need an accounting dealing with them as well. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In February 2020, 27 American scientists wrote an op-ed saying that anybody who suggested the lab, the coronavirus came out of the Chinese lab, is a right-wing nut. Then later on, five other scientists said the same thing. Why is that important? If, in fact, the coronavirus came out of the Chinese lab, like a lot of people suspected, people in America would be outraged and want somebody to take it to China. That would have been the biggest issue in the entire campaign. Who can make China pay for infecting the world? Secondly, by shutting down this legitimate question about where the coronavirus came from, they reinforced the idea that Trump was a nut.
And that wasn't so hard to reinforce for general purposes and even within some of the Republican Party. Trump's a nut. He's out there talking about using a hydroxychloroquine, you know, and then you got somebody in California saying, well, we took it and my husband died. And, of course, it turned out to be when you actually look at the facts. She took something you used to clean an aquarium with and gave it to her husband. She wanted him to die, but at the time she said, oh, well, I did it because Trump said it. And the media carried it. They didn't bother checking the facts because you'd never want to let the facts interfere with the narrative and the story. So we have the situation now. As you heard Senator Graham say, all of these scientists had signed off on that letter in early 2020, and it basically did say that we know more than Trump and everyone else. And, of course, once they signed off on that letter, that became headline news, reported breaking news over and over, wall-to-wall coverage, and on the, at that time, mainstream media. They couldn't get enough of it, and they looked for anyone that would add comments to it, and it wasn't hard to find them, was it? No, because they were all there. They were ready to take part in it because they were joined in one goal. The goal was not to protect the American public and get facts to you. The goal was to destroy Donald Trump. And it continues now. It continues now. Anyone that's even doing anything reference Trump, anything that looks like it's supporting him or anything he had to say about COVID, when he was saying and calling it the China flu, the Wuhan virus. Oh no, you can't do that. You can't. You first of all, you're basically xenophobic. You're calling yellow people dangerous. And remember Nancy Pelosi going right into Chinatown in California and saying, I'm here in the midst of Chinatown. Everybody's friendly and loving and come and have the food. He never once said anyone in this country, be they in Chinatown or in a midst of a Bosnian population in St. Louis, or if they were amidst Cubans down in Miami, that they were to blame for anything. Like he said, it came out of a lab in Wuhan virus, the Wuhan. And, of course, they were saying, well, it really came through the wet market. And yet now we know over just recent, 45 days maybe, that three of the scientists at that Wuhan lab in November of 2019 went to the hospital. They all had, quote, flu-like symptoms. And we're still not being told exactly what they had. Senator Graham and others have compiled a letter and sent it to the World Health Organization, demand they find out, get the details, find out why these three went to the hospital and exactly how they were treated. And so far, I don't hear anything, do you? No, that's nothing to be heard. They're not doing anything about it. World Health Organization is doing it. Tedros of the UN basically owes his job to China. So he's been very accommodating, let me correct that, let's say complicit in the lies being sold to not only our nation, but the world about what happened with China. And now, even Dr. Fake, who had claimed, no, it came through the wet market, it didn't come from the lab, and if it did come from the lab, if it did, it would have been an accident. And we were never involved in any gain-of-function research. And I remind you again, the term gain-of-function research, gain-of-function is code for weaponizing. Weaponizing, looking for a way to make it deadly and use it against someone. And I saw a story that I started to go past it because it's so stupid, but I thought, no, it just fits, and I'm going to put it in here. California Congressman Eric Swalwell. Remember his data was seized by the Trump administration during part of a leak probe? And remember, even federal agents were saying that Swalwell had contact, and I don't mean just hello, shake hands. He had intimate contact with a Chinese spy. She had joined him when he was just a council member, getting him elected to the council where she was, then into the mayor, then into Congress, and then Nancy Pelosi puts him on the Intel Committee. And that Chinese spy also apparently had relations with various mayors across the Midwest. We have not been given their names. But we know, even the federal agents admit, yes, Swalwell was meeting with her, and we had to let him know that she was a spy. And he says, oh, I broke off all contact once I knew that. And yet there are other reports saying he didn't. But where I'm leading with this is that Swalwell is now saying, and CNN's picking it up and running it for him, CNN reporting that back in Feb 2018 that the Trump Justice Department subpoenaed Apple for data from the accounts of House Intel Committee Democrats, staff, and family members as part of a leak investigation. So they want to find out where the leak was coming from. That's what they were doing. At the time, prosecutors were hunting for sources behind the news stories and contacts that would prove Russian and Trump collusion, which they never got anyway. So when it comes to Swalwell's information being gathered up in that, he has the audacity to say, well, you know, what we had there is we had Donald Trump, the president, weaponizing the DOJ against members of Congress. And at the same time, the Democrats in control were weaponizing the FBI and the DOJ, members deep inside, they were weaponizing them to go against Trump. You talk about a lot of gang of function on a political level. Where we are now, though, is we still want some answers, and we want China to pay for it in some way. But I want to go back to Senator Graham's remarks regarding this letter that had been sent and signed by these 20-plus scientists in early 2020. Basically, as he said, they were simply calling anyone who believed Trump and Trump himself a nut job.
The scientists who signed that letter in February 2020, I got a question for them. What evidence did you have to make you feel so strong there was no other alternative than it coming from nature? Was this a political document or a scientific document to Dr. Fauci? I'm not challenging science. I'm questioning the motive of the scientist who definitively said in February 2020 a lab leak was a right-wing conspiracy idea.
Yes, and that is what we're getting at this point from Dr. Fauci. And he did an interview with Rachel Maddow of MSNBC, and she said, you must have thick skin because we've got things going on here that, you know, they just keep coming after you. And he said, well, no, I appreciate that, but it's not so much me they're attacking. They're attacking science. And, you know, saying I can take the spears and everything, but they're attacking science. Well, you just heard Graham saying, I'm not attacking science. I want to get a scientific answer to where did you come up with the idea? Where did you come up with that idea that it was basically going to be linked to anything other than what Trump was saying? Graham says, I smell a rat. And I understand that. And in the meantime, you still had to worry about what you put on Facebook regarding COVID. Are you aware of that? YouTube has suspended Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, Wisconsin, because he uploaded videos to YouTube for 7 days and a video of a speech talking about early treatments to COVID-19. He put all of this up as he's also, of course, leading a Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs hearings on experimental treatments to coronavirus. The experimentals, such as hydroxychloroquine and Invectramine. And here again, YouTube decides to censor him. And he points out big tech and mainstream believe they are smarter than medical doctors who devoted their lives to science and use their skills to save lives. So here's another case where if you have an opposing speech or anything, we're going to shut you down. That's what those 20 scientists were doing at that point, and YouTube carried their story and their information repeatedly. And the question is, not so much are we going to fire Fauci, Dr. Fake, or if we're going to fire all the members of the CDC, but are we actually going to get tough with China on this issue? See, I'm still waiting to see something. I'm waiting to see something from the Biden administration that, yes, we are going to do something about that. We're not going to back off. Well, he's had plenty of time to do so. He's done nothing. I'm sorry, did you hear me? I said he's done nothing. Do you expect anything to be done? Again, I wouldn't hold your breath on it. No, they're not going to do anything at this point. And we continue to have the now state-controlled media doing everything it can to make Biden looked really good. I don't know if you've seen, I doubt any of you listening get it delivered to your home, Time Magazine. But Time Magazine, the new latest edition is out, and on the stand, you'll see it. You see Joe Biden pictured prominently, wearing sunglasses, and in the reflection of the sunglasses, you see Putin. And Time Magazine's already being mocked. There you are trying to make Biden look cool ahead of the Putin meeting. Because there's another adversary. We got to see what he's going to do there. He's already caved in and given them their direct line, their pipeline, to go right from Russia into Germany, making Germany dependent on Russian oil and other parts of Europe as well as it moves forward. So if he's doing that, what is he really going to do about China? I would imagine that the Chinese leaders, Xi and the rest of them, and Putin and his group, and North Korean leaders are all still laughing and saying, I cannot believe that the Americans turned around and gave us this guy that they think will deal with us. That's where we are. And in the meantime, speaking of COVID, on one other thing, there is a warning that we really, a top CDC official says we're not ready for the next pandemic. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You ain't nothing but a hound. Been snooping around the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I was asking as to what Biden is going to do, reference China. And China's attitude is they're not going to get anything more from him than a wet noodle. We have, of course, the G7 summit underway now. It's the first foreign trip for Biden. He's trying to convince the others to join D.C. in taking a tougher stance against Beijing. And he's looking at Hong Kong and the South China Sea and other areas. But the COVID issue needs to be front and center. So he did have a joint statement released yesterday with his British counterpart, Boris Johnson, vowing to support a further investigation into the origins of COVID-19, including in China. Now, China is not a member of the G7. You think they're going to really care about what kind of resolution is passed by anybody at the G7? Do you think they're going to bow down to demands from the U.S. just simply because we tell them to? Do you think they're going to cower in a corner waiting for Biden to go away and maybe somebody even easier? Who could be easier? And in the midst of all of this, we've got a top official for the CDC. Dr. Ann Shushat is the agency's principal deputy director, who's going to retire this summer. She told The Hill, We're not really ready for another pandemic. Her statement, I think that critical learning about how to do better next time is the need to greatly invest in public health, not just respond to emergencies. This is a big job. It can't be like Ebola or H1N1, where there's emergency funding and then everything goes away. This needs to be sustained or it'll be exactly where we were last year. Well, at the same time, the actual director of the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, has called for a revamp of the public health infrastructure as well. Of course, she has stepped out of her role and she laid out top priorities that included getting the federal government to invest in public health. Saying we need to fix the public health structure, both of them testifying before Congress about this proposed budget. If the money's going to be properly spent, yeah, I understand that. We do. And of course, there are stories already circulating. There's a new variant out there that the vaccine's not working. And then we also have stories about the vaccine causing more problems for some people than others, and in some case, maybe death. And children having more difficulty if they're given the vaccine. At this time, I don't think they give them to the children below age 16. But they're talking about giving them vaccinations as early as 5 years of age. Now, right now, I said 16. Everyone 12 and up can get a vaccination, and the CDC is, in fact, recommending it. Parents, this is a critical point for you. You have to make this decision, and I know that if you decide one way or the other and your child is suddenly facing a life or death situation because of COVID or the vaccine, then you're going to want to punish yourself. Don't do that. I mean, it's a very difficult time right now. But the bottom line is we have been told repeatedly children are not a main contributor to the vaccination. I'd rather spread the COVID. And I think many parents are going to decide, nah, I'm not going to put that in my child until we have several more years. But that's going to be your call. I can't tell you what to do. I would not tell you what to do. But I will tell you this. We've got a congresswoman in Washington that needs to be kicked out of the D.C. and the country.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around under 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think she absolutely should be fired. And this is a pattern with her, too. This isn't just a one-off. She has a pattern of anti-Semitic comments. She's constantly trying to make you believe that America is a bad place, not worthy of our praise at all. And what she does is she says something pretty outlandish, and then she turns around and claims victimhood for it when people criticize her. Mm-hmm. This is the game that gets played. This is the pattern.
That is a pattern for the left on a constant basis. And we're going to get into that, as I said, in the opening monologue, even more so in the second hour, focusing on Jeffrey Toobin back on CNN and NNN, their legal analyst, despite what he did. And then you look how the left treats conservatives versus one of their own. But here we're talking about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Minnesota. She made some remarks after she put up a little thing on her Twitter account when it suddenly blew up in her face. She had posted a Twitter account earlier this week, showed her speaking on a video call with Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. And I looked at the audio, I was going to pull it up, but it's kind of hard to hear, so I'm just going to tell you what she said. I'm reading direct from the transcript. She's talking again to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. Quote, "We must have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crimes against humanity." Okay, I accept that. Then she says, "We have seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. Well, I have to admit, I'm totally surprised she actually mentioned Hamas and the Taliban in committing acts of crimes against humanity. I'm surprised she even added that. But the other issue there is that she's equating the U.S. to Hamas and Israel to Hamas. Israel, which has to worry about more rockets being rained down on them if the ceasefire breaks, just because Hamas can, and they're getting money from Iran to continue their terrorist activity against Israel, and their vow is to wipe Israel from the map, from Palestine to the sea, where they control it. You want to know really how bad this has been this time around? I mean, she's done this kind of stuff before, as you heard the statement a moment ago by Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas, saying, yeah, she should be fired from her position, which Nancy Pelosi gave her. Nancy Pelosi made her a member of a foreign affairs committee. And in fact, she chairs one of the committees inside the foreign affairs overall committee, because Pelosi gave it to her. She has the right to make those appointments, so she did. And the point being here is that Pelosi should take her off those committees when she thinks that U.S. policy and Israel policy equates to what we've seen from the Taliban or Hamas, Hamas wanting to wipe out Israel, Taliban in Afghanistan, and wherever they raise their head, they want to take off your head if you don't agree with them. Women were not allowed to go to school. I mean, girls weren't, and certainly not going to be allowed to do some other things. And you will all be always be subjected to what the men and the Taliban leaders say. Now, I want you to keep in mind, here we have a congresswoman, and they made a big deal out of it, and I understand that she... You know, she is one of those elected to Congress, one of the first two Muslim women, along with Rashida Tlaib, to serve in Congress. That's great. As long as she's not trying to change our country and she is acknowledging our Constitution, she doesn't back up our Constitution. She had served in the Missouri House of Representatives. Then she got into where she could run the congressional district, which includes all of Minneapolis, some of its suburbs. So she's kind of locked in. She's already plainly stated numerous times anti-Semitic remarks against Israel. And Senator Chuck Schumer keeps his mouth shut because he's afraid they'll try to primary somebody against him and take him out. He wants to stay in position. Nancy Pelosi isn't going to say a lot. So on one hand, we can praise her as being, and we can praise this nation. I should point that out, too, for you. She is the first Somali American, the first naturalized citizen of African birth in the U.S. Congress, the first woman of color to represent Minnesota. Now, again, those are a lot of firsts that happen in this country. Do you think she stands a chance in Afghanistan or with the Taliban if she were to go there? And again, coming out of, again, her birthplace, because she was born in Mogadishu, Somalia, and spent most of her early years in Somalia. Then her family, because they were facing persecution and so forth, her father had been a colonel in the Somali army. And when everything started going upside down, well, she and her family fled Somalia to escape the war. They spent 4 years in a refugee camp in Kenya. Then they wanted asylum in the U.S., and they came in 1995 when she was 13 years old. We brought them in. We recognized, yes, they are true asylum seekers. But what does she do now? She constantly demeans and attacks this very country that opened the door for her, that provided her protection. And this time, she's actually even getting some pushback from some Democrats. And even Nancy Pelosi even though Congressman Crenshaw said Pelosi should fire and take her off that committee, Pelosi hasn't done that, but she is gathering with the help of some others, and they are accusing her of giving cover to terrorists and suggesting her remarks about Hamas and the Taliban reflect a deep-seated prejudice. That is very strong. And Illinois Congressman Brad Schneider is apparently leading that group and stating equating the U.S. and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban is as offensive as it is misguided. And they want her to clarify the remarks. Critics had called those remarks offensive. Well, originally she was defending them, saying they were taken out of context. They were not taken out of context. The video was right there for everyone to see. And even Pelosi echoed the statement, "You're drawing false equivalencies between democracies like the U.S. and Israel and groups that engage in terrorism like Hamas and the Taliban." And she said, "We welcome the clarification by Congressman Omar that there is no moral equivalency between the U.S. and Israel and the Hamas and Taliban." Well, AOC has come rushing in to help her out and give her some defense. She says, "Pretty sick and tired of the constant vilification, intentional mischaracterization, and public targeting of Ilan coming from our caucus. They have no concept of the danger they put her in by skipping private conversations and leaping to fuel targeted news cycles around her." That's what AOC tweeted. And then you've got newly elected Cori Bush of Missouri saying, "I'm not surprised when Republicans attack black women for standing up for human rights, but when it's Democrats, it's especially hurtful. We're your colleague. Enough with the anti-blackness and Islamophobia." Well, there's a split going on there, and I'm glad to see finally they are. These are mostly Jewish congressional members that are finally speaking out. Thank God they're finally stating something. Remember in 2019, the House voted, the point was to condemn anti-Semitism because of remarks Omar made. Well, they condemned, after many days of trying to figure out what to say, condemned anti-Semitism, they condemned white racists and several other things which we would all agree on. Never mentioned her by name, they just kind of glossed over it. Well, this time, maybe she went a little bit too far by these remarks. I hope. But you got to keep in mind, she's in this country because we brought her here, and now she's speaking out against it. Which brings me to what happened the other day. And I told you about it previously. We're going to talk about it more in the next hour. But I want to take you back to Mara Gay, who's a member of the New York Times editorial board, on a trip she took and what she saw that triggered her. Listen to this.
"I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this."
I didn't like it the other day. I hate it even more so now, and every time I hear it again. Of course, the fact that there were Trump flags there, that already had her upset. But then she puts most of her thrust into the American flags. "You running around carrying American flags suggests that you own this. This is your country, and you own it." Well, damn it, we are Americans. We do own it, and it is our country. And we welcome legal immigration. We welcome those seeking true asylum, as Omar's family was looking for, and we gave them sanctuary and protection, and now they turn around and spit in our face and say, basically, this country, like Israel, is guilty of crimes against humanity and linking us to Hamas and Taliban terrorists. Quentin just found something, by the way, regarding a Chinese official. You want to hear this coming up.
Me, the worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. Well, what deep in love, yes, I know.
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So early we began this hour with Senator Graham, Republican, South Carolina, saying, I smell a rat. That a bunch of scientists, along with Dr. Fake and all, ganged up, and they issued and gave us false information and lies about the Wuhan virus, concealing that it came out of the lab, and not even allowing that discussion, and condemning anyone who said it could have come from the lab, even if it's just an accident. You weren't even allowed to say that. And they condemned Trump and you, if you had that view, as you're a conspiracy theorist. But now we're 180 degrees from there because Dr. Fake is now saying, well, yeah, it could have, it could have. And, of course, we still have not been inside the lab, and now it's been months later. If we went in now, what would we find? And the World Health Organization, which we thought was carrying out an investigation, later admitted we didn't get inside either. We just gave you what they gave us. Pretty sanitized information. You should not expect anything else from China. And Quentin found this story that really gives you, is if you need additional insight of what happens inside China. Story coming out of Beijing that a Chinese county official apparently killed himself because there was an investigation into the deaths of 21 runners last month during an ultra marathon. Now, here's what the deal was. Supposedly, they were having this marathon, and it was a May 27th event, and apparently they did not plan properly for any freezing rain and gale force winds, which hit the mountain where they were competing, that it was not properly handled. The committee itself failed to manage protocols, so these competitors running 60-plus miles along an extremely narrow path, altitudes of 9,800 feet, 27 of them ended up dying. And now the top Chinese county official appears to have jumped from his apartment as he's being investigated. We had heard similar stories about scientists involved in the COVID breakout. We'd heard numerous stories, as a matter of fact, that some of the scientists had been involved in the lab work just fell out of a window. Somebody left it open. They just fell out. Or maybe they decided to jump and not knowing they could not withstand what they might face and are thinking, if I go now, my family won't have to also bear some of the penalty. You never know, except the fact it's communist China, and you're never going to get all of the story, the true story. And in communist China, if you do something wrong, there's not going to be a trial. It's going to happen immediately. And not only to you, but your family. Same thing in North Korea and in Russia. So we're dealing with these countries, and we got Joe Biden acting like he knows what he's doing and he's going to be tough with them. I don't see him being tough with Putin already giving him the go-ahead with your pipeline. We know Germany needs oil, and why not get it from you, make them more dependent upon you? Why not? And the rest of the European Union. But in our nation, no, we're not going to do that. In fact, we're going to shut down a Keystone XL pipeline immediately cutting 1,000 jobs, 11 to 12,000 other ancillary jobs that would be affected then or later down the road. And we're telling them, don't worry, you're going to have a job in the new green world coming up. But you don't have one now. That's kind of tough. You're just tough. So I don't expect it to really accomplish anything of any value. And here's the other issue that's on the horizon. The Tokyo Olympics. They're to open July 23rd. Already, Tokyo is worried about having fans attend any of the events. In fact, Tokyo and several of those in that area are under a state of emergency until June 20. This is June 11. 9 more days, they're still going to be under a state of emergencies. Their infections have slowed recently. But they're still worried about a spread of variants. And if we bring everyone together for the Olympics, and our nation so far has not said we're not going to go. On one hand, I have a hard time for the nation making a ruling and saying the U.S. will not compete because these people have prepared, spending the last 4 years getting ready for this. I think you really should just let them decide. And if they think, no, it's just too hazardous, I can continue working, be in better shape next time around. But we don't know what's going to happen there. And, of course, it's not cheap to put on an Olympics, and they were expected something like $800 million in ticket sales. Well, a lot of that's already been lost. Supposedly Japanese government entities will help make that up. They spent something like $15 billion already for it, and probably higher. So let's see if we're going to have the Olympics, if we're going to participate, and if some U.S. athletes are going to say, I think I'll pass, or they'll say, if the government won't go, I'll still go. Coming up in the next hour, he's back, Jeffrey Toobin, back on CNN, and they're just, it's an engaging conversation. You want to hear that, and also we'll make comparisons to how they treat conservatives who make a bad decision. And then the congresswoman says, take the guns away from cops?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.